The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by ZipRecruiter. Going with a team defense that gave up 5 touchdowns last week, not smart, but using ZipRecruiter to find qualified candidates fast, that's smart. ZipRecruiter identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, then actively invites them to apply. Try it free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
Welcome to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, Friday, November 9th, Week 10 Preview Day, Field Yates, Matthew Berry, Star Fania Bell here, getting you set for another busy week of NFL action. Big game last night, turned out to be quite the rout, but we'll get into the Steelers and Panthers full recap on Monday, as is our tradition this season. Everybody getting ready for big Week 10, a lot of matchups to win. This Sunday.
It's one of those things, though, that a game like that from yesterday is really a mood setter. Like, if you have Christian McCaffrey, Big Ben, Juju, Antonio Brown, even like you picked
you just
up
my whole lineup,
right? Yeah, Vance McDonald, you picked him up, right?
Had him.
Like, you have one of those guys or multiple of those guys
in
your team.
Can I pull Matthew for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
Wait,
you know what's so ironic?
So good, actually.
Is Vance McDonald got a touchdown last night
on
a catch that wasn't a catch. Meanwhile, Jesse James did not get a touchdown last year on a catch that was a catch. Because Vance McDonald did not control that catch last night.
And that was it. That changed the whole end of the road for the Steelers last year.
I'm not saying this is like someone who's bitterly playing against Vance McDonald, but it was clear that Vance McDonald did not have control of that catch before, like, it was not fully controlled before he landed out of bounds, and he definitely did not control it once he landed out of bounds. Weird how the NFL's catch rule, listen, I'm glad. I want more catches. It's good for the fantasy karma of all of us. But that was crazy
last
night.
Well, unless you're playing against it.
That's a good point.
Well, but that was my point. So it's like you come into Friday, either you feel either great if you have one of those guys on your team and you're like, I'm up big, or you're like, you're massively depressed. Like, you know what I mean? Like you faced Ben.
Right.
And you're down whatever he put up.
38
or whatever it was. Something insane.
Ben took a little bit of exception to what I thought about him last night. Decided he was going to go out. I think that was his motivation, quite frankly.
Big Ben.
I think Ben's a listener.
Downloader.
Might have been. It was, but I had Ben and Juju exceeding their expectation in love hate. I had Vance McDonald as somebody to play on my 6 o'clock Sports Center hit from yesterday. Thank you. That's all I'm asking for. Just needed that. That's all I'm asking for. I just wanted some validation.
Hey,
was that so hard? Was that like I have to do it myself? So it's nice. Thank you. It's about time. I got some teammates over here to, you know, do something. But anyway, so off to a good start. So excited about that.
We're off to a rousing start.
It's unbelievable.
Like, behind the scenes.
Game preview.
That works.
I am so sick of you guys today. I've been with you for 3.5 minutes.
Guess whose team is coming up first?
Yeah,
you might want to be careful, mister.
Super Bowl 53 preview. Lions at Bears.
Not.
Come on. After the two divisions are dissolved into one major giant division.
Two conferences are just putting more.
Yes, conferences. Yeah.
Every week I'm calling the Lions game a Super Bowl preview because I love you, Daniel. Kerryon Johnson, Detroit Lions. We have seen him play effectively at times this season. We've also seen other running backs get involved. But now he faces the best Bears, best defense in terms of holding opposing running backs to fantasy points so far this year. Matthew, how concerned are you about the matchup for Kerryon and the fact that Theo Riddick was very effective last week?
Very concerned. Candidly, very, very concerned. I mean, he made my hate list. And now it's important to note, obviously, that the love and hate list this year, obviously, is all about the Eastman projections and whether I take the person higher or lower. But he's projected at 13.2 points. I just don't see it. You mentioned Theo Riddick. He obviously cut into Johnson's passing game usage. I think it's a low scoring game, right? Bears allowing the second fewest running back yards per carry this season. They are top five in terms of fewest yards allowed per carry before and after first contact. I don't think there's anything that you saw from the Vikings game last week against the Lions that makes you feel like that Detroit offensive line is in good shape here, Field. And so, you know, in a game in which Candidly, I expect them to be behind. Kerryon Johnson, whose passing game usage certainly went back to how it was when Theo Riddick was there before. So, I mean, you know, 7 catches in week 9. He was targeted on 33% of his routes in week 9. This is Theo Riddick now. I don't know. I have Kerryon Johnson as a touchdown dependent flex.
Yeah, there's some times.
He's my number running back 25 for me.
This season, we have talked about wanting Kerryon Johnson to be the featured back in Detroit, wanting him to get all the touches he feels like he deserves based on ability. But as we know, around the NFL, there is so much more to it. Whether it's Aaron Jones in Green Bay or perhaps Kerryon Johnson in Detroit, it's hard to actually see these running backs realize those roles. How about Kenny Golladay, though? Because over the past few weeks, he has been a non-factor in this offense. You would think, after trading Golden Tate, Kenny Golladay would see a monster work share. That did not happen, and it caused a sigh right there from Starfania.
I know, but I think, as we said, it was hard to judge this game in totality because Matthew Stafford got sacked like 10 times.
10 times.
We have double-digit sacks. I got news for Detroit, though.
Okay.
Khalil Mack's coming back this week.
I've heard
so of him. I'm not sure that this – if that was the problem, was protection, do we really think it gets any better, and does that in turn affect what we think about these receivers this week? I mean, I have Kenny Golladay ranked 23. I mean, it's a flex play for me because you still think of that potential, but I'm nervous about it.
I have him at 26 to find him a couple spots behind you, and I'm worried I might be too high on him. You think about a guy that has a total of 7 targets. It's not that he's just, you know, that plays haven't happened. And look, he had a basically what would have been a touchdown called back due to penalty, and I think it maybe looks a little bit different if that happens. But still, 7 targets in his last 3 games. This is a guy that was averaging over 8 targets a game prior. He hasn't caught more than 4 passes in 5 straight games here. In order for a play to develop downfield, to Stefania's point, you need time to set that up. And so Golladay makes me nervous here in this matchup. I think Stafford does not have a good game here. Stafford, who's been bad so far this year, I think he has 1 top 12 finish all season long. On the road at Chicago, where Vic Fangio's defense has been nothing short of terrific the last couple of years, when they're at home against opposing quarterbacks, I ended up making a trade last night, so I didn't have this decision. But as of yesterday, in our 16-team War Room League, where I have Stafford as my starting quarterback, I had Nick Mullins starting over Matthew Stafford in that league, and I ended up making a trade last night for Wentz, so I don't have to deal with that. But I mean, I have real concerns about the entire Lions offense in this game. Secret Squirrel. Your thoughts?
I don't blame you. I mean, it's going to be a tough game. This Bears defense is legitimate, and you're really hoping that without Golden Tate, they're able to figure it out. I mean, that's taking away a huge piece of that offense.
Mitch Trubisky over the past couple of games has struggled quite mightily, at least specifically last week. He was saved by a late touchdown pass to Trey Burton. I say save somewhat generously, when the Bears really could have just milked the clock against the Bills, and they kept throwing it, I think, to develop the confidence of Mitch Trubisky.
Have you ever, just out of curiosity, have you ever tried to do that? Milk a clock? Like, because when I think about milking something, I think about a cow, and I think about how you milk a cow, right?
You did that as if you have milked a cow, yeah. But I would dare to venture that you
have
never.
I have milked a cow. I have milked a cow. Yeah, I'll tell you.
Or it didn't happen.
Wasn't it point over the past 12 years? Was it during your ESPN career?
No. I when I was a kid, we went on a field trip, and and video didn't exist back then. But yeah, I milked a cow.
I have a revelation about Matthew that I want to share. He just shared one of us about the cow, but at the end of this game, can I tell a story about you that I didn't?
Why are you asking permission? You're totally
just tell it now.
Yeah, tell it.
Go ahead.
The reason why I asked if it took place during your ESPN career was because it would have been unbelievable. Earlier this week, in case you missed it on the fantasy show, Matthew did a spoof of my Athleisure magazine shoot, which
and the magazine, by the way, that he covered was Athleisy, which was so good, the name of it.
So we did it. Matthew's been working here for 12 years, and when he got to the gym,
because we were doing a shot-for-shot parody of your
went to the ESPN gym, and his pass did not work.
I thought that was a joke.
No.
It literally didn't work.
And here's the reason why. At ESPN, as an employee, they require you to sign a waiver and have your ID registered with the gym. It's a health concern, right? It's a safety thing. So in your 12 years of working at ESPN with an office spitting distance away, spitting distance away from the gym, you've made it there precisely 0 times.
That is factually correct.
I'm more impressed with that. I'm more impressed with that than I am the guy that's flown like 20 million miles on United, who just got some badge of honor yesterday for all of his frequent flyer miles.
Because it's harder to imagine that you couldn't get there. You couldn't even cut through and go in one side and out the other in your entire time.
I have a gym at home. So
Money bag.
Wait, is it one of those where the treadmill with like clothes hanging on it?
Pretty much. Yeah, it's like it's whatever. By gym, I mean it's a treadmill and it's a couple of weights.
Years.
But yeah, to the extent, and listen, I'm not sitting here claiming I work out because I don't, but to the extent that I do, the few times that I do it at home. I've never been a big public gym guy. So, but yes, that is 100% a true story. I did not know. And it's literally like, we have video of it because we were going to think it and we were doing something, but I'm walking by and I'm like, dude. And like, it goes green that shows I'm still employed here, which is good because listen, it's day to day with me. You have no idea. You guys have no idea. But, so shows I'm still employed here. But that, yes. And I'm like, why is it not letting me in? And then I found that, like, I didn't even know that. I didn't even know you were supposed to register. Like, that's how. Mm-hmm. So 100% true story. But I've now been to the gym.
I've learned a lot in the first few minutes.
You can go to at Matthew Berry TMR if you want to see the shot for shot video that we did. Of Fields behind the scenes shoot.
What do you got, Daniel?
Really quickly, just coming back to this. Have you never milked a cow or anything like that, Field? You guys?
I've milked a cow. I have.
You have milked a cow.
I have. Yeah, I went to Germany as a kid and stayed on a farm for a couple
I've never
years.
Done that.
Yeah.
You've never milked a cow?
No.
Stefania?
I used to ride all the time. I took care of my horse, but I never milked a cow.
I've never milked a cow, but I did milk a goat when I was a kid.
Was it Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady?
How do you milk Tom Brady?
Field, that was so good.
It was really good.
It was so good.
All right, Allen Robinson is.
I mean, I have an idea of how you do it.
We can't even get through one
but
game.
I mean,
come on, let's go.
I mean, I've seen an instructional video. I'll just leave it at that.
Everyone hates us right now. So let's talk about the Bears.
So let's get back to Allen Robinson.
But this all started because I wanted to just know about how you milk a clock.
Right. Yeah, well, you know what? Why don't you figure
you take
that out?
Too literally with some of these phrases.
Is that what I do?
Allen Robinson, Stefania, is he going to play on Sunday?
He says he's 100%.
Okay.
So if Allen Robinson says he's 100%, I think you can count on him playing. He's practiced fully the last 2 days. Obviously, he's been out for a couple weeks with the groin injury. You like to see a guy getting in the back-to-back full practices, but yes, I expect him to play. He'll have Darius Slay on him, correct?
He will, and to be honest, like, I'm not crazy about him. Listen, Lions allowing a league low 6.4 completions out wide this year, which is obviously where Robinson spends the majority of his time. He has one game this year with more than 64 receiving yards here. And I think, look, Mitch Trubisky made the hate list as well. I mean, we project him for 20 points. That struck me as high. So I'm outside my top 10. And that's part of the reason why I'm not crazy about Robinson here, Field, is that I think this is a low scoring game because I don't think the Bears need to throw a ton to keep up with the Lions. I think their defense dominates. I think they run against the Lions who have really struggled against the run. So I think this is a big Jordan Howard game. So I just don't see Trubisky having to have, you know, kind of a big fantasy game here because he's not going to need to.
That was the case last week when they dominated the Bills. They looked to keep the script rolling against the Lions again this Sunday. They are 6.5-point favorites. I will take the Bears. How about you?
Oh, I don't even know what the line is. Give me the Bears. What is the line?
Six and a half points.
I don't listen.
Daniel, who do you got?
I'm going to take the Lions.
There you go. You have to stick with one pride. The Saints go to Cincinnati and play the Bengals. Let's begin with Mark Ingram, Stefania. He's been banged up a little bit on the injury report this week. Is there any concern there whatsoever?
Yeah, he's off the injury report. He took a helmet to his elbow and fumbled the ball last week, and we saw that, and he was in great pain afterwards, and we were talking about how it could have been. That's the kind of injury that you can end up with a fracture, but not even on the injury report now, so Mark Ingram should be fine for this game.
Good news there. We've got him just around. He's right outside the top 20 for us at running backs. We understand that with Mark Ingram, the volume's going to be there, but he's a little bit touchdown dependent, as we've seen Alvin Kamara just absolutely dominate the passing game for the Saints recently. But there's a really important question about the Saints this weekend. With Sean Payton saying it's at least possible Dez Bryant could play this weekend, I am just telling you this. Whether you and I had this conversation or this debate or not is irrelevant. No player was added more this week than Dez Bryant. I tweeted this yesterday. Over 60% added. It underscores the point. People play emotionally. Mike Davis could be a top 10 running back this week, and he's available in 70% of leagues. Dez Bryant might play 5 snaps on Sunday, and he's added in 60% of leagues. So, Matthew, because clearly
people are morons.
People are interested, but people are interested. What are your expectations if he plays? 10 snaps, 15 snaps, 5 catches, 1 catch?
Yeah, nothing. I mean, look, we did this on the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus. We talked about it yesterday as well. You are on the field with Drew Brees. Anything can happen, but in the game of what's most likely to happen, and that is what fantasy football is, what is most likely to happen? You are trying to put your team in the best position to have the best odds of success. Doesn't mean it always works out. But, you know, like, you stay on 17, and sometimes the dealer pulls 21. It is what it is, right? You're playing the odds here. And the odds say that it is very unlikely that Dez Bryant has any sort of success, even in a great matchup, because I can't imagine he plays a significant amount of snaps. How much could he possibly learn of the playbook here? Boy, oh boy. I mean, like, yeah, five snaps, maybe one catch for 8 yards. Now, listen, could that be in the end zone? Of course it could be, but there's, look, I wouldn't even waste a roster spot on Dez Bryant, let alone starting him, because again, like, sure, anything can happen, but I just, the odds of it are, based on the production we've seen, based on the fact that, and we talked about this, like, what the number three pass catcher in the Saints offense has done over the last 3 years, like, wide receiver 38. Like, that's a best case scenario.
Right. I'm with you there as well, Matthew. I would not play Dez Bryant this weekend. If we have to own this one on Monday morning, so be it. I just think there's a better chance he plays, you know, 12 snaps with one catch for 7 yards than there is that he plays 30 snaps with five catches for 35 yards and a touchdown.
Cam Meredith, who has been there since the start of training camp, hasn't done anything this year. Right. I mean, and that's just, I mean, that just to give you an idea of that role in the offense, because that's what he's taking. He's taking the Cam Meredith role in this offense. So if you just think of, I mean, that's what you're adding with, you're adding Cam Meredith, but by the way, with less knowledge of the playbook, less relationship with Drew Brees, and we don't even know what kind of shape Dez Bryant's in.
Yeah, we would hope, we would presume that he is in close to football shape because he had a lot of time off, but you can't really replicate the action of football until you have played football.
For maybe the first his idea time doesn't, in- maybe his ID doesn't work at the Saints gym. You know, like, maybe he hasn't registered either.
Do you think that they thought maybe he plays a little bit of the Ted Ginn role before Ted Ginn went on IR?
I think that is Traquan Smith. No, I don't.
I think Traquan's, I do too, but I think maybe that's what people are thinking, because that, Traquan Smith has been ignored a bit by people.
Two catches last week for Traquan Smith. One of them did go in the end zone. A player that I like the upside of, though, going forward.
Yeah, give me Traquan Smith over Dez Bryant the rest of the season. All day, every day, and twice on Sunday.
Andy Dalton. It would be good to have it on Sunday because they play football on Sundays. Dalton.
You're the best in the business field. I want everyone to know that.
Thank you.
A lot of people say he doesn't know football, but the truth is that, you know, they play a little bit on Thursday and a little bit Monday, but the majority are on Sunday.
Yeah, a couple of Saturday games every once in a while.
Johnny
well.
On the spot.
Andy Dalton, is he on the streaming radar this week? The Saints have really struggled against the pass so far this year. There could be a ton of points scored on Sunday.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, so look, the Saints allow the second most fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks. They allow the second most passing yards per game, third highest completion percentage here. And look, you don't love the loss of AJ Green. But in a game in which we expect the Saints to be able to score, I mean, they're the worst scoring defense in the NFL, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
No team gives up more points per game just in NFL scoring.
It's crazy.
Than the Cincinnati Bengals. And so we expect the Saints to be able to put up points here, which means Dalton's going to have to throw. Now, whether it's checkdowns to Joe Mixon, we'll see if we get Giovanni Bernard back this week as well. But I think you'll see, you know, you see a lot of Tyler Boyd, CJ Uzoma, you know, like, we're figuring out whether it's going to be Josh Malone or Alex Erickson or, you know, who takes AJ Green snaps or some sort of mixture of those guys in there. John Ross, do we finally see something out of him? But by hook or by crook, I think the volume will be there for Andy Dalton. I think he's a viable streaming option in the QB2 range. I think I have him as QB14.
You just laid out the players that are of note in terms of pass catchers for
Cincinnati. I'm good at that, just listing players.
Tyler Boyd actually ranks at 5 for you after Thursday night adjustments amongst wide receivers. I got him at 10. Stefania has him inside the top 10. There's plenty of volume to go around with AJ Green averaging 9.5 targets per game, but it's not like Tyler Boyd was not already getting his. So we'll see whether the elevation to a number one role leads to more volume and more production, or if the extra attention play to Tyler Boyd could actually work against him.
Saints have given up 8 different touchdowns to the slot this year. That's second most in the NFL. My expectation is that Boyd does not suddenly move outside. My expectation is that
he remains in
the slot, and that's just an area where the Saints have really struggled offensively all year long.
Let's pick this game. The Saints are 4.5-point favorites on the road. I'll take the Saints. How about you, Stefania? As Matthew thinks about it. Daniel?
I'm also going to take the Saints.
Matthew?
I would love to take the Saints, but you know what? The Bengals getting points. Well, every time you take the Bengals, they do.
They do what?
Well, they bone you. Whatever, I'll say it. What do I care? All right, give me the Saints.
Who dat? All the way around. Atlanta Falcons go to Cleveland to play the Browns.
My wife is in New Orleans this weekend.
Cool.
It's parents' weekend at Tulane. Cool. Well, I know the game's in Cincinnati, but I'm just saying, like,
karma.
Feeling New Orleans-y. Pray for
Matthew's twin daughter.
Frankly, it's me and the daughters all weekend long.
I should be in New Orleans. Really?
I don't know why you're not.
I don't either.
Falcons and Browns. We begin here with four teams on a bye this week. We have thinner running back options. I think that maybe people are underappreciating what Ito Smith has done so far for the Falcons. Should he be on the flex radar this week, Matthew? You've got him at 31, just a few slots behind where I am at 27.
He's had 14 red zone carries this season. That is more than every other Falcon combined so far this year. He scored a touchdown in four of the last five games, a rushing touchdown here. You certainly like the matchup against, a Cleveland Browns team that has struggled against the run so far this year in a significant way. So, look, you're starting Tevin Coleman over him, but yes, I believe Ito Smith is a viable flex play option. You had the other side of that in our board bet, and you've ranked him even higher than I have.
I know. I think what I'm doing is I'm compensating for the fact that I am smothering you so badly in this board bet.
I got a 60-point. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. So it's over the remaining, two games plus whatever they have left, I need to have Tevin Coleman outscore Ito Smith by 60 points.
Right.
He's only like 37 ahead through two games.
Yeah. So that we're holding, I'm winning at the bet ins today, I win.
Yeah, but
I love your math.
I'm just saying. I mean,
there's
it's
no
a
logic
math.
To that.
If the bet ends today,
but it
I win.
Doesn't. It goes for the whole season. So
well, sure, Stefania. Listen, look, honestly, look. Tevin Coleman had the big game here, but you know, Ito Smith. I just need you to stay within 60, brother. That's
much
all I'm asking.
Like
Ito.
His teammate Ito Smith, Calvin Ridley back on the flex radar as well. Ridley had 19.7 points last week against the Redskins after three straight games under 10 points. Is this more of a reflection of the number of players on a bye this week, or do we think this is a favorable matchup for Calvin Ridley and that he can deliver once again?
Well, I think it's a favorable matchup. We saw what he did against this vaunted Washington defense that wasn't so vaunted anymore.
I'm aware of my unvauntness.
But I think Calvin Ridley's always been a flex play. It's just been frustrating because all of a sudden we lost him for a while. He'd been consistently such a high performer, and then three games where he goes less than 10 points, as you mentioned. But I do think against Cleveland, he has an opportunity to be that guy again.
When Matt Ryan is not under pressure this year, his target percentage, this is Calvin Ridley's, is 25.7%. You know, when Matt Ryan has more time to throw, he's able to find Calvin Ridley. He's getting literally a fourth of Matt Ryan's targets when he's not being pressured. Browns, since week four, are 29th in the NFL in pressure percentage. They haven't been able to get to the quarterback here. So I do like Calvin Ridley as a flex as well.
I also think Most Sanu has been less than himself. You know, he's had this hip injury that's
been less than Sanu.
Yeah.
Walked into that.
I know.
Yeah,
not Mo, less. But, I mean, I think he's still banged up, and so that could affect things as well.
Baker Mayfield is on the end of a four-game stretch before the Cleveland bye with really generous opponents. We think this is another week where Baker Mayfield could find his way on the quarterback streaming radar against the Falcons that have allowed over 300 passing yards per game to the first eight games of this season.
Yeah, I would agree. Oh, Baker Mayfield? Yeah, I mean, look, multiple touchdown passes in three straight games. He's averaging over 40 pass attempts per game as a starter. I'm as 15, you have at 14. I mean, like, yeah, the volume is there. It should be a good matchup.
One more streaming quarterback option there, Baker Mayfield. We also talk about Andy Dalton. There are a couple others on the radar again this week. Maybe the most important question for Cleveland this week is just how much we can expect out of Duke Johnson. Last week was awesome. 9 catches, 78 yards, 2 touchdowns. 9 catches on 9 targets. He had just one rush, though. So you're at all concerned, Matthew, about the Browns doing what the Browns tend to do, which is sort of like confuse logic and not actually apply it. Do we think there's a chance that Duke Johnson goes back to the player he was in the first 8 games as opposed to the player he was during the 9th game of the season?
It's the Browns. Of course there's a chance. All of it's a chance.
Right.
All of it's a chance.
But I can't believe after they saw what they got when they decided to use him. We expected him to be used more in the passing game. So
it's the Browns, Stefania.
Right, great matchup this week, though, against the Falcons, who have really struggled. They have been an absolute sieve in terms of defending opposing running backs.
And there's so many injuries for Atlanta in terms of their linebackers. And so
100%.
I think that's going to help.
They're
going to
get Deion
Jones
back here soon, and they signed Bruce Irvin, so they're trying to get some help.
But,
you know, right, but right. I can't imagine Irvin plays significant snaps this week. And, but to your point, Field, so Duke Johnson made the love list this week. So you asked me, do I think there's a chance? Of course I think there's a chance he reverts back because it's the Browns.
Yep.
But my expectation is I align with Stefania, and I assume you as well. I'm actually the highest on him of the three of us. I have him as 18, so I'm as a top 20 running back this week. He made the love list. His projection is 11 points. Get this. Five different running backs have scored 12 or more fantasy points against the Falcons as a pass catcher only counting their work in the receiving game. They've had 12 or more points against the Falcons this year. Duke, who ran a route on 57.8% of dropbacks in week 9. Falcons, as we've said, most running back receptions each of the last 3 years, and they're on pace to shatter that record this season as well. Yeah, I like Duke Johnson quite a bit this week, especially in PPR. He's a top 20 play for
Falcons
me.
Are favored by 4.5 points. I've got the Falcons winning and covering. Daniel, what do you got?
I am taking the Falcons as well.
Okay, Matthew, what do you say?
I will take, yeah, Falcon up.
That kind of works. Rise up is what they say in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I understand. That's what they say.
Rise up!
I say Falcon up.
Okay, right. Stefania, what do you say?
I take the Falcons.
All right, clean sweep there for the Rise Up Falcons. The Colts host the Jaguars. Both of these teams coming off of a bye. And Stefania, the question of the week, perhaps in fantasy football, is Leonard Fournette. His return. Will he be fully healthy? Would Stefania Bell, the injury expert, play Leonard Fournette if she had him on her roster?
I would play him if I had him, which is a different answer than... Is he fully healthy? Because, and you know, you guys know me because you've worked with me long enough that if for me to decide somebody is fully back from a hamstring injury means that they have to play a couple of games, look like themselves, and not have a setback. And that's how you know. And so I don't think we're going to get the full answer until we've seen Leonard Fournette in a couple of games not have an issue. And we don't really know what he's going to look like in this game. I mean, I know, Matthew, you've talked about before, you feel like he's a volume guy. When he's out there, they're going to use him 110%, and he's going to get a ton of work. But let's not forget that the first time he tried to come back, they used him on virtually every play of the first series, and then he was out. So this is different because there's been a longer window of recovery. I think he will get increased volume if he continues to feel good during the game. So I think there will be some fluidity to it depending on how he performs.
All right, Matthew, hearing all of that, now knowing that Carlos Hyde is there and TJ Yeldon is there, would you play Leonard Fournette with confidence on Sunday?
I would. My expectation, look, and I could be dead wrong on this one. We don't know. And I also say this. I think this is interesting. So yesterday on the fantasy show on ESPN Plus, we had Teddy Bruschi, 3-time Super Bowl champion Teddy Bruschi, yep. Right? The great Teddy Bruschi.
Yeah.
Teddy is a big fantasy player. I don't know how many people know that. He's like in four leagues. And Teddy has Leonard Fournette on a team and told me yesterday on the air that he is not starting Fournette this week. He's starting Tariq Cohen over Fournette in one of his leagues. He has like Melvin Gordon or something like that. What I said to Teddy is what I will say to you now is I'm starting him. My expectation is that Carlos Hyde and TJ Yeldon are really just depth and or handcuffs. That the point of using Leonard Fournette is that you have to use him to wear down that team in the fourth quarter. That you can't just give him 12 touches. If you're in the Leonard Fournette business, that's a guy that needs 20 to 25 touches in a game. That's how you use him effectively. And by the way, that's how they've used him throughout his career in Jacksonville, right? I mean, he is somebody that I believe got 20 or more touches in 10 of 13 games last season. And so here is somebody who last year, 2017, fifth most rushing yards in the fourth quarter, sixth most yards per carry in the fourth quarter. Like, it works. Like, he's significantly better in the fourth quarter. He's a guy that wears down defenses. So that's my expectation of how Jacksonville is going to use him. And we'll see. So, yes, if you have Fournette and he's active, I'm starting him.
Yeah, I mean, I hedge a little bit. I've got him more in the middle than where you two are at with Leonard Fournette. I don't believe that Carlos Hyde is merely depth now for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And to a lot of people that responded yesterday on Twitter and said, you guys talk about Carlos Hyde, them trading a fifth round pick. They used the fourth overall pick on Leonard Fournette. Yeah, that was a year and a half ago when he hadn't missed, what, seven games because of a various number of injuries to his hamstring and other body parts. Like, things change. You have to be dynamic. Carlos Hyde, I don't think you give up a fifth round pick for a player to be on the bench. This is my opinion. Marlon Mack, he is back for the entire Colts team.
You know what? Let's do a board bet here.
I've got him at 14, so it's not like that's that far of a gap. I'm just saying, my point is that, like, I think
how many touches do you think Carlos Hyde gets in this game?
I don't know, five.
All right, well, but that's, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's about what I would have said. So, but to me, I'm not knocking Leonard Fournette because Carlos Hyde's getting five. To me, five, like, he's a depth guy. To me, five touches is a depth guy. You disagree with that?
No, okay, so I thought my interpretation of your comment and the reaction of people on Twitter is like, hey, he's not going to play at all. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, I think he'll play, but I mean, when I say a depth guy, I mean like, but that's what I mean. That's what I mean by a depth guy is like somebody that gets a handful of touches, but not any, like we just talked about Dez Bryant as we think he's being somebody who was signed for wide receiver depth and we think he gets 5 to 12 snaps. I mean, right.
That's different than touches though. Touches, you know. Touching the tap, touching the snap is a lot different.
Where would you project Leonard Fournette's touches? Let's do it that way then.
16?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say 20. Somewhere in 17 to 20 is where I would range, but like.
So I don't think there's, I think we're sort of just grinding gears on things that don't need to be grinded right now. My point is merely this, like, let's figure out, like, there is something of a question mark with Leonard Fournette until we see it. Marlon 100%. Mack and the Colts are back after a bye last week. Now, Mack has been unbelievable for the Colts. Each of the past two games, he was a top three running back. But this Jaguars defense is no joke now. I know they have been the butt of a lot of jokes because of not meeting expectations so far this year, but you worried at all about Marlon Mack going against Jacksonville?
I'm actually not. Okay. Very quietly, over the last 4 weeks, and they've obviously had a bye, they're 29th against the run. The Jaguars, you know, formerly very stout run defense, has started to show some leaks here. Honestly, I mean, they're also allowing the 10th most big runs per game. Nice find here by Thirsty Kyle. 3.4 big runs per game. Big run being defined as 10 plus yards or more. 10 plus more. And we know that's a big part of Marlon Mack's game here. That offensive line in Indianapolis field, I think, is one of the underrated storylines of this season. How well they've played. It's always been sort of an issue for the Colts, and they've righted the ship there. So I'm not worried about the matchup here. I like Marlon Mack. I have him at running back 15. We all have him there. I mean, you have him at 16. Stefania has him at 13. We're all in on Marlon Mack as a mid-tier running back too, with a little bit upside.
And we all have some questions about T.Y. Hilton in this matchup. The reason why he's not inside the top 10 or at least top 15 for me is because he draws Jalen Ramsey. And if you go through Mike Clay's piece on ESPN.com with his best and worst cornerback matchups of the week, one of the worst you could find for T.Y. Hilton has been Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey entered the league in 2016. They've played four times with Ramsey and Hilton on the field. Hilton has lined up against Ramsey on 104 of the 168 routes that he's run during that span. Here's his production in basically four games. 12 catches, 154 yards, and one touchdown. That's like crazy. 34 total targets for him. Obviously that Jalen Ramsey is one of the best cornerbacks in football. So we have some concerns this weekend about T.Y. Hilton. Yeah. We still have him inside our top 20, not benching him, but much lower concern.
I'm not as worried about this as you guys are. A couple of those games were without Andrew Luck. I feel like their offense is more in sync with Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton this year. And Jalen Ramsey's still a little bit banged up. And I don't think it's going to be that bad. I think he has a chance for a better showing.
A.J. Boye not going to play in this game. That's the expectation here. So, you know, they'll try to probably scheme T.Y. Hilton. I mean, we expect Ramsey to shadow, but try to do different things and, you know, do little pick plays and stuff like that. They'll figure out different ways to get Hilton the ball here. Colts also, Doyle over Ebron.
Doyle over Ebron. The numbers, the routes run. I don't care if, like, Ebron could sneak in the end zone for a touchdown, but I'm telling you, all the numbers suggest that Jack Doyle is the preferred tight end.
As soon as he came back, we saw that he was a preferred tight end.
Colts are 2.5-point favorites here. Give me the Colts in this one. Matthew?
I will take the Colts as well. Yeah.
I'll take the Colts.
Daniel?
I'm also going to take the Colts.
All right, let's get to the, is that the Colts or is that a, you're still thinking about it?
That's just what his face looks like.
That's what my face looks like.
Okay, well, what are you thinking about? It. Stefania's going to tell us about 23andMe.
I'm going to take the Jaguars here.
Okay, 23andMe time, Stefania.
Wow. All right. 23andMe is a DNA testing service that can offer insights into your ancestry, health, wellness, and traits. The 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service includes reports on how your DNA can influence your weight, sleep quality, caffeine intake, sense of taste, whether you're likely to be lactose intolerant, like Mike Clay, and more. It's easy to do. You simply spit into the tube provided in your 23andMe kit and mail your saliva sample back to the lab to be analyzed. You get sleep reports. The deep sleep report tells you if you're more likely to be an especially deep sleeper. The sleep movement report tells you how much you're likely to move during your sleep based on your DNA. The saturated fat and weight report tells you based on your genetics how your weight might be affected by saturated fats in your diet. It also offers tips on which foods to watch out for if you're trying to eat less saturated fat. The lactose intolerance report sheds insight into how your genetics may affect your ability to digest dairy products. So order your 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service Kit at 23andMe.com/FFF. That's the number 23andMe.com/FFF.
Keeping things rolling with the Buccaneers hosting Matthew's Redskins on Sunday in Tampa Bay.
Before we get there, I just want to bring something up very quickly.
Okay.
Which is, apparently Twitter is very excited about the fact that Stefania, it's the gun show for Stefania.
Okay.
And so, but apparently they're now asking for my...
Yes, that's accurate. I wasn't going to bring it up, but they thought it must be very warm in the studio because Stefania's got the guns out on Friday.
Right. Sun's out, guns out, yeah.
But for you, they were asking to free Matthew's guns.
See, they're more like pistols. They're not really guns.
More like Civil War long rifles.
Right.
You know what they're like? The little pop cap guns. That...
Right. They're just like that. They're like, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Like Elmer Fudd used to have. Yeah. Right? You know what I mean? When he was hunting wabbits.
Yeah, they're like, they're like Colt 45 single action service revolvers, you know, from way back from 1918. We did a Secret Squirrel and I before the show. We did a PSA, a little parody shoot for the fantasy show on ESPN Plus. We did another kind of little commercial thing, and so I came dressed as how I was for that. So that's why. But trust me when I tell you this, Stefania's arms much more attractive than mine.
Redskins go to Tampa Bay to play the Buccaneers. Alex Smith has the best matchup I think you could possibly have for a quarterback this year. The Buccaneers are historically poor defensively, but Alex Smith has thrown 8 red zone attempts the entire year. Is he worth a look as a streaming option this week, Matthew?
That's bad.
I do believe he is. I do actually believe, that he's worth a streaming option this year, right? I mean, so you think about, talk about Alex Smith?
Yeah.
Tampa Bay as well. They threw something up on the screen, which distracted me for a second, but I assumed we were talking about Alex Smith. Think about Tampa Bay, which has allowed multiple touchdown passes in 7 of 8 games this season. Nick Foles in game one, the only exception. They've allowed a quarterback to score 20 or more fantasy points in 7 of 8 games. Again, Nick Foles, game one, the only exception there. They've allowed 3 more touchdown passes than any other team in the NFL, and they've already had their bye. So they've played less games than, a lot of the teams in the league here. And so Alex Smith coming off a game where he had his first 300-yard passing game of the season. He had a season-high 22 rushing yards. And that's because, listen, this offensive line is brutal.
Yep.
They're literally starting guys off the street this Sunday. And so my expectation is one of the reasons why Adrian Peterson made the hate list. That's one of the reasons why Adrian Peterson made the hate list this week. Field, I think they're going to have to throw to keep up with Tampa Bay's offense. We know how well their offense is and how well that's running. So, I think he's going to scramble a lot because there's going to be plays breaking down. And I think they're going to have to throw a ton. So yeah, give me Alex Smith as a viable streamer in a great match against Tampa Bay. He's my QB 13 for the week.
You just mentioned Adrian Peterson dropping this week. That's perhaps a little bit offset by the fact that Chris Thompson's not playing, Stefania.
Yeah, Chris Thompson out again. Obviously the second rib injury problematic for him and just they're so banged up on their offensive line. Yeah,
they are. As Matthew said,
it hurts Adrian Peterson.
Quite literally signing players off the street who could play as soon as Sunday. Jordan Reed, Matthew, I mean, he's actually healthy and yet we have a hard time squeezing him into the top 10.
Relatively. Still makes an appearance on the injury report, but not missing time.
The argument for Jordan Reed here is the matchup, because it just hasn't manifested itself. I mean, we had a great matchup against the Falcons last week. And so look, 11 catches and 18 targets in the last two games. So starting to get a little bit more involved in this offense, but he lines up in the slot. And you think about the Buccaneers, who allow the second highest completion percentage, the most yards and the most touchdowns to opposing slot pass catchers. And so Paul Richardson not going to play in this game. Jameson Crowder, Stefania, return to practice, but how are we feeling about Crowder?
Well, I mean, I think he might see him in this game. I mean, now he's back consecutive days in practice. If he can, this decision may not come down until game time, but there's a possibility Crowder could be out there.
So Crowder, but like you've got Maurice Harris, Josh Dotson. The argument for Reed is basically volume and matchup because the production hasn't been there this year.
Our friend Ryan McDowell notes that I believe he does this with he classifies a tight end one as a top 12 performance, but the Bucs have allowed 7 tight end one performances this season, the most in the NFL. Right. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Mike and I had a conversation earlier this week on Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ryan McDowell, by the way, is a good Twitter follow.
Yeah, it's RyanMCD23, I believe, is the handle for Ryan. So keep an eye out for him on the Twitter, give him the 06010 bump. Ryan Fitzpatrick wears aviators to practice. He's also got a beard. It's hot in Tampa, so I'm not sure why you'd want to do that. Daniel, maybe you can, I don't know.
You're bearded.
You don't feel it.
You're part of the bearded
No, you don't even feel it. It's just there. Like, it's just part of who aeration. You are.
Yeah. I have more of a, I'm more fascinated with the chin strap on the beard, because every week when I look at it, it looks uncomfortable. Like, it'd be itchy like that. Have you tried a chin strap?
I have tried a chin strap. Your beard stops being itchy after you get it out past a certain length. You literally don't even know that it's there.
So even like with the sweat, with the compression from the chin, okay.
I mean, it's no worse than a regular sweaty chin that you're not feeling. You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, okay. I haven't shaved since the podcast started this summer. Here's where I'm at.
I'm impressed you have, you know, armpit hair. Like, I didn't think you'd hit puberty yet.
Thank you. I did. Ryan Fitzpatrick in the three games that he has started and finished has 15 touchdown passes. You're certainly feeling good about him. Stefania, the one thing I did want to mention for the Buccaneers, though, is Mike Evans okay? Because he's been banged up of late.
Yeah, he's okay. I mean, he's been banged up, you're right, with the knee issue and sort of in and out, but he will play. Like, there's not going to be a question. He may be struggling through a little something, but I don't think it's enough that I'm downgrading him in my ranks.
Yeah, so that's good news there for Mike Evans being able to play on Sunday. Keep an eye on Adam Humphries. Over his last three games, he's got 27 targets, a reasonable flex option in 12 team or larger leagues is Adam Humphries. The Bucs are favored by 2.5 points in this game. I got the Buccaneers. Matty B, who you taking?
Give me the Redskins.
No surprise. Stefania.
Hail the Redskins. Hail victory.
The fact that you had to think about that.
I mean, we're so beat up. We're just so beat up.
It's Tampa Bay.
We are.
Stefania, who you got?
But I'm going to take Tampa Bay.
Yeah, okay. Daniel. Yeah, see, exactly.
Yeah, but I'm not a fan who claims to be loyal.
I am also going to take Tampa Bay.
You know what we mean? Claims to be loyal. Listen, bandwagon.
You had to think about it.
I had to think about, yeah, because I'm picking the games. Just because
I know. It's Tampa Bay.
I pick against the Redskins. I'm going to obviously root for Washington, but
yeah,
like,
whatever.
Listen, you super bandwagony, everything like that. Everyone sees Stefania.
Sick burn. Get me super bandwagony.
Stefania's so bandwagony for the 2-7 49ers this year.
Oh my God.
Like, how glorious is it to root for a team that can barely find the end
zone? I am going to Monday Night Football. That's how much I'm committed to my team. Would you go if the Redskins were that bad? No.
I have.
No, they turned that bad after you went, is what you meant to say.
All right, the Seahawks traveled to Los Angeles this weekend to play the Rams.
All I know is Stefania wore a Red Sox World Champion t-shirt yesterday. Just whatever. She loves, whatever. It's very exciting. She's constantly.
The Seahawks go to Los Angeles to play the Rams. And just before we begin, you know, our hearts go out to all those in Los Angeles. Some scary natural disasters right now with fires that are just running ravage in that area. And I know the Rams are taking practice off today to just make sure to ensure the safety of all those within the organization, players and families and all that alike. So we send our best to Los Angeles right now. The game is, there's no, I don't think there's any sort of implications in terms of moving the game around, location, anything like that as of the moment. So let's sort of analyze it as such. Russell Wilson, is he a starter this week?
But it is worth keeping an eye on because air quality issues can impact. But we saw it with Oakland when they had the Napa fire. Yeah. So it's fair point to bring that up and people should stay tuned.
Russell Wilson, after sort of a down week last week as a thrower, got going as a runner. He had 41 rushing yards. Is he a starter this week though, Matthew?
I'm as a borderline one. I'm at number 11. Look, he's thrown multiple touchdown passes in 7 of his last 8. And you think about the Rams. I think the Rams will be able to put up points here. And so the Rams defense has really struggled so far this year. They're 22nd against the pass over the last 4 weeks here. And so Russell Wilson, who seems to be coming into his own, and finally, like, what's helpful here is that there's going to be a strong run game. Like, I think Seattle will be able to run significantly. Well, I think they'll be able to run very well actually against the Rams here. And so that'll set up play action. And so, yeah, I mean, I think he is look, you wish there was a little bit more volume here, but yeah, I believe Russell Wilson, who had 19.9 fantasy points the first time he played against the Rams. I mean, you remember, and he'd been struggling much earlier in the season here. So
yeah,
Again, I'm his QB 11, so borderline starter.
Don't tell Marcus Peters this himself, but Marcus Peters has been a plus matchup for opposing offenses.
He's been bad.
Throughout the season, Russell Wilson should be able to throw and they should be able to run. But Stefania, we don't know who is going to be running for Seattle as of right now, though it seems like it could be Mike Davis.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I had to gamble, I would think it's going to be Mike Davis because Chris Carson has not practiced yet this week. And if you remember, last week was very iffy to take the field. They ultimately declare him active, and then he aggravates. They've labeled it a hip, but Pete Carroll called it a groin injury. He aggravates it in the first half and sits out the entire second half. So, you know, why they don't want to get burned again. So I would think that most likely it's going to be Mike Davis.
Is that a song by The Who? Won't get burned again?
Yeah. Believe it is.
It's not. Know. It's not. Won't get fooled again is
fooled
the name of it.
Fooled again. Yeah. Yeah.
You fail music trivia.
You know what? You know why?
Why?
I don't have a good reason.
You can't do that, Stefania.
I know, but at the moment, it fit. I have to say, the song fit the moment, so I bought in. Yeah. You know, you tricked me.
I am.
Doug Baldwin missed practice on Wednesday, then returned to limited capacity on Thursday. Do we think he is okay right now?
This is a new injury. You know, I think people might just assume, oh, it's a knee thing, and they've been giving him limited reps sometimes in practice. And I think there's only been 1 week, really, that Doug Baldwin has not appeared on the injury report. Now he's got a groin injury that's put him on the injury report. Did not practice Wednesday, limited on Thursday. I mean, it sounds like you think he's going to be available, but maybe not 100%.
So, all right. So there. We will see here.
It's worth the value, though, there, man, because you're a little bit concerned because of the matchup in the slot.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. I mean, ultimately, look, the Rams have allowed multiple wide receiver touchdowns 5 of the last 7 games here. However, to your point, L.A. allows the 4th lowest slot completion percentage this year, 6th fewest slot completions. And so Baldwin, who has played basically double the amount of slot route, has ran double the amount of routes out of the slot than Tyler Lockett over the last 2 weeks. Baldwin 42, Lockett 23. Since they both sort of came back last couple of weeks here. So I would downgrade Baldwin a little bit here, actually.
Speaking of Lockett, I have him,
you know, as a wide receiver 3 this week.
Speaking of Lockett, can we lock it in for Jared Goff as a starter this week? Because generally speaking, you start all of your Rams.
There you go.
That question was asked rhetorically as Jared Goff has 3 games.
Do you want me to talk about Jared Goff?
No, I can.
Jared Goff made the hate list this week. I will say this. Now understand that's the hate list is all about projections, and we project him for 18.8 fantasy points. So I'm taking the under there, partially because, again, I think the Rams win this in a big way here. Remember, the first time he played Seattle, he had 14.3 fantasy points. The Rams are double-digit favorites in this one, and the 4 games that the Rams have won by double digits, Goff has finished below 18.8 3 times. I still have him as a top 10 play, but I don't think you're going to see the same Goff that we saw last week in fantasy.
I still say lock it in for Jared Goff.
Yeah,
quick break.
I'm both saying start him, yep.
Quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Before we do that, did we pick this game?
Sorry, we're not.
Bad host.
Rams, 9.5-point favorites. I got the Rams. How about you, Matthew?
Ram up.
Rams.
I'm taking the Rams.
Thank you, Daniel. Take a quick break. Now we'll be right back.
You're in the 06010.
And now it is time for the final ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week for Week 10.
Hey, this is Kevin, ZipRecruiter's Smartest Fan of the Week. And I feel like being the Smartest Fan of the Week is sort of an oxymoron since I listen to you guys every single day. Now, back to the show.
That's actually great. That's actually a really good one, Kevin. Nice job, Kevin.
He may have started out the smartest fan, and then after listening for a week,
his got
intelligence
pretty dumb.
Deteriorated over 100%. The week. Let's keep things rolling. The Patriots go to Nashville to play the Tennessee Titans. Let's start here on the health front. Gronk and Sony Michel. Let's begin with Sony Michel there, Stefania, because it looks like he's trending towards being back on the field, but there's 2 parts to this question. Do you think he'll be back on the field, and do we think he'll actually play a full allotment of snaps?
So I think he'll be back on the field. I don't think he'll play a full allotment of snaps. If you look at how the Patriots handled him, and again, I go back, I say this every week, but it bears repeating, they're methodical. And if you look at what happened when he had the procedure on his knee in the preseason, he missed week 1, but he was limited in practice. Remember last week? Limited in practice, did not play. Limited again this week. I would expect that they introduce him, but he played limited snaps in that first game, which was week 2. I think it was
Jacksonville. Yep.
Yeah, and I think it was 18 or so, you know, something in that range. But then he increased his workload over successive weeks. So I think if he has a good outing, then it bodes well for going forward.
I think hearing that, I'm going to move Sony Michel down to about a high-end flex play or low-end RB2. I had him at 14 to begin the week. I'm going to have him closer to a flex play after knowing that he could be on somewhat of a snap count.
I have him at 25.
Yeah.
And I don't think, you know, I don't think they're a team that necessarily goes by a count per se, but I think that in the back of their minds, it's like, okay. It's also just the fact that he's been limited in his workload. They're going to prepare him for certain situations. They're going to use him at certain times. This is what I think. And then we'll see it play out.
How about Gronk, though, Stefania? Because, you know, he has been out and he's still been limited all week with that back and ankle issue.
You notice I didn't rank him. Yeah. I really am of the belief that this is a situation, and I've said this before, where they're looking at the big picture and trying to get a disc problem and a guy who's had three back surgeries and has a flare up of a disc problem again to be really healthy and conditioned, by the way, to be back into a game. So it's not as much as the ankle he's played through, right? So if you're talking about a sprained ankle, it can be limited. He can push through that. But a back problem that was enough to not even allow him to travel, I think at this point, the team's going to be cautious. And look, he's already missed some time. So we had talked before about all those incentives and framing. This is really about trying to get him healthy for the second part of the season, I believe.
All right, so plan on making a Gronk contingency plan just in case. The game is at 1 o'clock, so you'll know by 11:30 whether Gronk is active or inactive. But Matthew.
And Field, the game is in Tennessee, so we may get clarity later today if he does not travel with the team.
Right, so it'll be Saturday night when they have to decide whether or not he'll actually travel with the team.
And keep in mind, Patriots have a bye next week, so it just makes it that much easier to say, you know what, you got a couple of weeks, not that they wouldn't use a guy if he were healthy, but just because of the nature of this problem.
You could buy yourself effectively a month if he doesn't play this week after sat out past week.
It has been, you know, we talk about sort of Dalvin Cook and Leonard Fournette and, of course, Le'Veon Bell is his own kettle of fish. But Rob Gronkowski is right up there with among the most disappointing fantasy picks this year in the first 15 picks.
Sure, no question about it. How about Tom Brady, though, Matthew? Because it's a difficult matchup for this Patriots offense against the Titans defense. However,
he's Tom Brady.
It's how you look at it, though, right? I mean, the numbers for the total season, they've been number one in terms of points allowed, number one in terms of total touchdowns allowed, number one in terms of red zone defense. But in the three games they play good quarterbacks, those quarterbacks have had success. In the other five games, when they've played less than good quarterbacks, they haven't had success. Tom Brady tends to be a good quarterback.
I would agree with you. Nice job there. Hashtag analysis. Tom Brady is a good quarterback. Titans are also 21st against the NFL in terms of the pass.
The
21st against the pass in the NFL over the last 4 weeks, obviously. So, they've basically been, you know, bottom 12 pass defense over the last month here. All that said, the success that the Patriots have had running the ball has affected Tom Brady's fantasy value. Like, he hasn't been a great fantasy quarterback this year. It's QB12. I mean, you know, right? I mean, TB12, he's QB12 in fantasy.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, right? He's got one game this year with 22 or more fantasy points. There are 18 different quarterbacks have multiple 22-point performances this week, including like Marcus Mariota and Derek Carr. Like, Derek Carr has more 22-point fantasy games this year than Tom Brady, and no one's doubting his greatness. And I'm not even saying he's played poorly this year. He's played very well. But it's just a matter of, especially after they got sort of that through that early season funk. But, you know, they get in close. They're running effectively. Their defense is playing well. They're not getting into shootouts here. I have him as a starter. I have him as a top 10 play. But, yeah, he comes in slightly lower for me, you know, because of, you know, candidly, the lack of production that we've seen so far and the theory that you've got a head coach in Tennessee who knows, you know, in theory, you have some people at Tennessee and starting with Mike Vrabel that in theory have at least some ideas on where to attack Tom Brady.
Yeah, I'm not as concerned about that part. I'm more concerned with the fact that they just haven't been nearly as high volume at the goal line with Tom Brady throwing touchdown passes or getting those quick 1 yard
cheapy
dive over the top quarterback sneak touchdowns. That's where it comes down to for me. I've got him at 7, but I have some concerns about this.
I have at 9.
Tom Brady. Deion Lewis has played himself into a starting role. He's been that good of late. He has more catches this season, 33, than he did all of last year when he had 32. He's a top 15 play, or close to it, for both Matthew and I. I know Stefania said earlier on in the week, she's going to bring him closer into that RB2 territory as well. It's not even close who the best running back in Tennessee is right now. Patriots are 6.5-point favorites, 7.5-point favorites on the road. I think the Titans cover in this game. Patriots win, but Titans cover. What do you got, Matthew?
Give me the Patriots here. I know the Titans are it's a big number, but okay. I'm taking the Patriots.
Stefania?
Patriots.
Daniel.
I'm taking the Titans at home.
Yeah, Titan, you know you, Daniel. Tighten up.
Tighten up.
All right, Chargers and Raiders. This game is being played in Oakland. Chargers are 9.5-point favorites. Matthew, you have Austin Eckler, I believe, on the love list this week.
He was in the others receiving votes.
Okay, close to it.
Still, you know, look, still counts. All I was going to say is Oakland allowing a league-high 6.97 yards after the catch per reception. I think the Chargers, you know, beat the crap out of a Raiders team that appears to have just sort of been phoning in the season, that is devoid of talent on defense, that seems to be a little bit of a mess. And so in a game in which I expect the Chargers to be up and up big here, yeah, I think Austin Eckler, who has been, after a hot start, has been a little bit quiet recently. I think he's on the radar here. I have him as a top 30 running back in PPR.
I'm not as confident there. Austin Eckler's got more than 10 touches in just two games this season, and we know that Melvin Gordon plays so many snaps for them. But the Chargers player that's kind of on the radar that I'm interested by is Tyrell Williams, but just as a dart throw, because Tyrell Williams has scored in three straight games, four touchdowns in total during that stretch.
Right.
He has not had more than four catches in a game this season. I keep making this comparison. He is like DeSean Jackson light. I mean, you may not be able to get more than four catches in a game, but on some Sundays it may be good enough for 75 yards and a score. He's a wide receiver four for us, but some upside there, obviously, if you are looking for a fill-in replacement wide receiver or flex play. Let's get back into these Raiders running backs, because we saw the first week last Thursday when they filled in for Marshawn Lynch, full-time capacity of Doug Martin and Jalen Richard, maybe the second week of doing that. Doug Martin is clearly the guy that's going to see the most rushes, but do we still believe that Jalen Richard has the most receiving upside and hence overall value, Stefania?
Yes, and I also would point out that Doug Martin is still banged up. You know, he's still got this hip issue that's limiting him in practice. I it's hard to trust him, healthy or not healthy, but even less when he's healthy. And I probably, frankly, have Jalen Richard ranked too low, but that's more a reflection of the Raiders offense as a whole than Jalen Richard's role in it.
Believe it or not, the Raiders are wont to, like, you know, implode on national TV or a non-nationally televised game, as we saw last Thursday night. So it's hard to have a ton of confidence in either one of these Raiders running backs, but we've got Richard is closer to a flex play and Doug Martin is more of an RB4 this week. Jared Cook has no more than 20 receiving yards in three of his past four games, which is probably the nicest thing I could say about any part of the Raiders passing offense. The Chargers secondary is good. Mm-hmm. The Raiders don't really have anybody you can rely upon amongst the wide receiving group. Jared Cook gets ranked as a top 10 tight end because tight end is that thin and will get even thinner if Gronk does not play on Sunday. Chargers, 9.5-point favorites. 9.5. And they cover and win easily. Matthew, what about you?
Yeah, give me the Chargers. Yeah. Bolt up.
Chargers look good right now.
I will. And Raiders don't.
The Chargers.
Yeah, hashtag analysis. Right there. There it is. That's Matthew, right.
Hashtag analysis.
Tell us about ZipRecruiter?
Nope. SeatGeek.
SeatGeek.
I would love to tell you about SeatGeek. I'm a fan of SeatGeek.
Me too.
Like me, the SeatGeek. You know, getting tickets on. Oh, listen, you know, I told you guys about this. They helped my kid get tickets to the LSU Georgia game. And
remember that.
So, it was super easy and great seats at a great price. And honestly, like, I'm a fan of SeatGeek here, you know, because getting tickets online can be far too complicated field for somebody like, I don't know. I don't want to point any fingers, but people that aren't particularly bright, you know, that people like, you know, those good looking types that are like really, really handsome, but maybe not a lot upstairs.
Yes.
I'm not pointing any fingers, but
guys,
I'm just saying,
blow dry their hair and then put gel in it and then blow dry it again to make sure it all fits the right area.
Exactly. Yeah. So those types, those model types anyway, for those types of people. Well, getting tickets online can be far too complicated for people like that. With hundreds of sites and varying levels of reliability, it's hard to know who to trust. And that is why SeatGeek is the way to go. SeatGeek, of course, pulls millions of tickets into one place so you can easily find the seats you want for a price you're willing to pay. Nothing quite like being there in person. SeatGeek is going to get you closer to the action for a great value. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. Here's what they do. They search multiple ticket sites and grade every ticket based on value. As a result, SeatGeek helps you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to ticket source for everything from sports to concerts to comedy to theater and everything else. Best of all, the listeners to this podcast get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Here's what you do. You download the SeatGeek app and you enter the promo code FFF. Okay? Once again, promo code FFF gets you $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event. We have the tickets.
Moving along here to the Dolphins at the Packers. This game is in Green Bay. Is Kenyon Drake actually in a good spot here, Matthew? You have been obviously the other side of the Kenyon Drake train for quite some time. However, is he actually in a spot against these Packers defense?
You would think so, right? Packers top 10 in the NFL in terms of completion percentage allowed and yards per attempt to running back receptions. So Drake, whose usage has been more in the passing game than it has been in the running game, he's got four catches in four of his last five games, at least four catches, I should say, in four of the last five, it would bode well for him. Having said that, here's a guy that was out-carried by Frank Gore 20-3 last week.
I'm aware.
In a game in which the Dolphins were leading, were competitive, and ultimately ended up winning, Kenyon Drake was out-carried by Frank Gore 20-3.
That's crazy.
And that's Adam Gase for you. That's Adam Gase for you. So, I have him at 23 because the upside is there, but so is the risk. And it is literally a question of how lucky do you feel? And I would tell you, America, I know my job is sit here and analyze and say, I would do this, I would do that, but I have no idea what's going on in Adam Gase's mind. And I will be honest with you. I'm not convinced Adam Gase does. I don't know that because Adam Gase could come on this show today and say, like, I promise you, Kenyon Drake is getting 15 touches in this game, and I wouldn't trust it. And I don't think, look, game flow happens, and look, he missed a bad blitz pickup at the start of that game, and I think that had something to do with it as well. But it is a risk-reward, high-end flex option this week.
I would say that Aaron Jones has already been freed. He's playing a ton of snaps.
Yeah,
he was the go-to feature back for Green Bay last week. If he scored on the one-yard carry, it would have changed the tenor of his night. If he hadn't fumbled, it would have changed the tenor of his night. We feel very confident now, though, in locking Aaron Jones into an RB2 role as opposed to, you know, not even wanting to start him or feeling concerned that Jamal Williams might actually be the go-to back in Green Bay.
I have said this before, so watch me get burned on this one again, but I think this is a breakout game for Aaron Jones.
Okay.
In a big way. I mean, to your point, yes. I mean, look, you know, here's a guy that, you know, played a season high 40 snaps last week, and I like the fact that after the fumble, they still went back to him. So,
yep.
Yes, I agree. He's been, quote, freed, but we haven't seen that big, like, wow, kind of game that we think is in the cards for him, given his talent and the explosiveness of this offense. And I think it happens this weekend against Miami. Think about the Dolphins, who allow 120 running back rushing yards per game this season. That's fourth most in the NFL. The last 4 weeks, they're allowing 170 rushing yards per game. Second most. I mean, they've been bad all season,
yep.
But specifically recently, this game is in Green Bay. It's a game that I expect the Packers to not only win, but to be leading field. And so in a game in which you expect them to be up big and great matchup, they're at home. They've had, you know, a couple of tough losses there. The Packers have just feels like this is one where they sort of get all their aggression out and really candidly, you know, take the Dolphins to the woodshed.
Interesting. Yeah. Marquez Valdes-Scantling is a player that we're all interested in. I just don't know the Green Bay is that good this year. That's my concern with him. It's not like I don't disagree with what you're trying to suggest. I don't know them that good. I think they might be a team that's got a transcendent quarterback and a roster that's got some spare parts involved right now.
Fancy a board bet on Mr. Aaron Jones?
I have him, I think, ranked higher than you do, Aaron Jones, this week. I want to do a board bet against America.
I'm two spots higher than you, but we're right there.
I want to do a board bet against America. Because Marquez Valdes-Scantling is available in more leagues than Dez Bryant.
Yeah.
Like, I want to do it. Who has more points for the rest
of
the season?
That's crazy.
100%.
Marquez Valdes-Scantling or Dez Bryant. So Marquez Valdes-Scantling in a good spot this week. We've got him as a top 30 play. Keep an eye on him. There's so much talent there. I wonder if that's a player that continues to earn more and more trust. Love him in Dynasty. Geronimo Allison, Randall Cobb, both free agents after this week.
I'll tell you what, right now.
Four straight games with a touchdown or 100 yards for Marquez Valdes-Scantling, or as the kids call him, MVS.
And by the way, Geronimo Allison on injured reserve, we mentioned that. And Randall Cobb downgraded in practice again yesterday. Mike McCarthy saying this morning it's the same hamstring issue that he's been battling. No definitive decision on Randall Cobb, but it sounds like a little step backwards for him.
Field, if Marquez Valdes-Scantling has more fantasy points this week than Dez Bryant, I will give you a pair of Stance socks.
Done!
If it's the opposite, then we will pick a random member of our Twitter audience from the Monday show. If you come into the chat and watch the Monday show at Fantasy Focus, you can find the link. Then one of you random people will win a pair of Stance socks that I'll get to you.
Consider it done. The Dolphins are 9.5 point underdogs in this game. I think the Packers win, but the Dolphins cover. How about you, Matthew?
I want the Packers. Give me the Packers to win and to cover the spread, even though it's 9.5. This is, by the way, well, let's go around all the things, and then this poll is shocking.
Okay, Stefan, who you got?
Packers.
Daniel.
I will take the Packers.
All right, let's keep things going. Monday Night Football right here on ESPN. Stefania's beloved 49ers hosting the G-Men, the New York Giants, and Sterling Shepard. So if you were to trust a non-Odell Beckham Giants pass catcher the most, who would it be, Matthew, and why? The options are Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram, for the record.
I think it would be Sterling Shepard. You know, Evan Ingram got into the end zone last game, but it was like, it was at the very end of the game. It was like the whole last drive is just so junky, so junk time here. And you think about Sterling Shepard, who leads the Giants in red zone targets this year. He's got 13. 49ers allowing opponents to complete over 75% of the passes when targeting the slot, which is where, this is since week three, by the way. It's where Shepard obviously spends the majority of his time here. So if I had to pick a non-Odell Beckham pass catcher, Sterling Shepard over Evan Ingram for me. Although I do think given San Francisco's defense and the state of the position, Ingram is a viable top 12-ish tight end this week.
Yeah, I'm with you there as well. Nick Mullins is going to start for San Francisco on Monday night, and Stefania is going to play him in a two-quarterback league. But Stefania, I'm actually more interested in who might run the ball for the 49ers. They've got two running backs on the active roster right now. They have Matt Breida, who's the other one, Daniel?
It doesn't matter.
I don't know.
Let's move on.
No. Maybe he's who's
not allowed.
Sammy Morris.
Don't speak his name.
Alf.
Alfred Morris. That's who it was.
You know what?
I always say those two guys.
Yeah. What team did he used to play for?
You guys are bad people.
I think he used to play for a team in Washington.
You know what he is? Washington.
He's an alien from outer space.
You know what he is?
That's right.
Please refer to him by his he's Lord Voldemort, right? He must not be named. Exactly.
Stefania. Matt Breida, though, he is back and seemingly healthy. There's only two running backs on the roster
right now. Injury report so far this week. Now, granted, it's a Monday night
game. It's early, right?
So there's only one day of reporting so far, but Matt Breida, not on the injury report so far this week. So I really like him in Monday night's game.
All right. He should be around a top 25-ish play, given the fact that he should be very... Yes, Stefania will be there. So who is winning this game, Stefania? The 49ers are 2.5-point favorite.
Oh, my gosh, the 49ers.
Okay. Matthew, who do you say?
Don't tell me you have to think.
What actually?
The New York Giants have to go across the country.
The 49ers.
I'll take the 49ers. Well. Daniel, who you got?
I think Nick Mullins is more legit than not. Like I just said early on the show, I was going to start him over Matthew Stafford this week.
Who you got,
you
Daniel?
Think that they cut Jimmy Garoppolo because Nick Mullins is the next guy?
Okay.
I think there's a chance he gets traded back to the Patriots.
Yeah,
sure.
I could see that. I'll take the 49ers as well.
It's a torturous
last couple of games.
I don't really think that
Eagles
America.
Hosted
I don't really
the Cowboys
that.
On Sunday Night Football. The Eagles are 6.5-point favorites. Mari Cooper's debut. Matthew, I don't know that you were on the show on Tuesday or Wednesday this week, so had to be pretty encouraged with the overall usage for Mari Cooper and his production on Monday night.
Yeah, and it wasn't a surprise. We talked about it on Fantasy Football Now on Sunday morning, and he was somebody that I sort of talked up on that game. Look, we talked about in the preseason, right, is one of the reasons why I was so in on Saquon Barkley. I know the word Lewis Riddick likes to use is sponsorship,
right?
And I always talk about the politics of a football team. But it all comes to the same point, which is they used a first-round pick on this guy, and Jerry Jones is going to say to Jason Garrett, figure out a way to get me my money's worth.
Right.
And so you saw the usage on Monday night. I expected to have even more usage in this game. I think the Eagles put up a lot of points here against Dallas. I think Wentz has a big game here, and I think their whole offense does. As a result, they're going to have to throw, and it is a bad secondary for the Eagles that's banged up.
Agree on that. Philadelphia's backfield's kind of interesting this week because Darren Sproles not going to play. Corey Clement was sick on Thursday. I mean, I don't want to suppose to find you, but I tend to think there's at least a chance to play on Sunday night,
I think there's a chance. We'll see if he's back in practice today.
Wendell Smallwood, though, is the player that we feel the most confident in, but confidence kind of a strong word here, Matthew. Like, I have Wendell Smallwood at 26, but that was the dart throw of the 20th. The players ranked at running back between 20 and 29. The one that I felt most dart throwy was Wendell Smallwood. Like, that's me hoping he scores a touchdown on Sunday night.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, I'm outside my top 30 here. He is the lead running back of a committee on a pass-first team going against a Dallas team that allows a league low 1.91 yards per carry before first contact. It's actually been a pretty good run defense, actually, so far. They're 13th in the NFL over the last 4 weeks against the run. And I know Deion Lewis had a nice game on Monday night, and they are traveling on a short week. But, you know, it's interesting to see Josh Adams. Everyone's picking up Dez
Deep
Bryant.
Flyers, yeah.
No one's picking up Josh Adams. And I thought it was interesting when Doug Peterson compared it to Jay Ajayi.
Yeah.
Like, you think about Smallwood, who's a smaller back. Like, could you see Josh Adams sort of take this job, especially if they're up big in the second half? It's interesting. Adam Kaplan, you know, our friend and former colleague who does a great job, covers that team really well, talked about the fact that he tweeted this out, that he thought Josh Adams could be sort of the closer for them in the second half. So Josh Adams, look, it is very dart throwy, but somebody who needs to be rostered in more leagues, because I think there's an opportunity for him to potentially take a big share of this backfield.
Speaking of dart throwy, is Golden Tate in his Philadelphia debut? Not that we don't have any, have no issues with Golden Tate's talent. We know how good of a player he is, but how do we have any idea how much he is going to play in Philadelphia other than the idea that they traded the third round pick for him for a reason and they had a full bye week to get him acclimated? Got him as a wide receiver 3 this week, Matthew, or a low end wide receiver 2.
Yeah, he made the hate list for me this week. I think he comes in. I think our projections for him are a little bit high. Look, a very talented player, but my argument against Tate is until we see it, it's hard to know because traditionally, at least, you know, certainly with Detroit, his fantasy game was volume based, not touchdown based. I mean, he was a guy that, you know, got you 7 for 77 kind of thing. That was a typical Golden Tate game. He was never a big touchdown scorer. So now he goes to Philadelphia where there's a lot more weapons, where he's going to be competing with Zach Ertz for targets in the slot. By the way, the Cowboys actually pretty good against the slot so far this year. They're allowing a league low 4.6 slot completions per game. There's only 4 times this entire year that a player has scored more than 6 points against the Cowboys out of the slot. So just, I don't know, like we haven't projected for like over 13 points, I think. Struck me as a high number.
I'll just
I
be
think
curious
he's a wide
to see
receiver
if he actually
3.
Plays the slot this week for the Philadelphia Eagles. Maybe Nelson Agholor continues
you
to...
You think they kick him outside?
We'll see. I don't know. I'm just curious as to how that one actually shakes out.
We'll see. I mean, Aguilar's played in and out this season, so my expectation is that they kick Agholor outside and they put Tate in the slot. But your point, we don't know.
6.5-point favorites for the Eagles and the Philadelphia Eagles winning cover. How about you, Matthew?
I do, too.
Stefania.
Actually, you know what? I think Dallas covers. I think Philadelphia wins, but I think Dallas covers. I think they keep it close.
I'll take the Cowboys.
Daniel.
I'll take the Eagles.
Fly, Eagles, fly. The Chiefs host the Cardinals on Sunday at Arrowhead Stadium. The last time that Stefania and I kind of prayed that
Want to know where it went? You want to know where?
Yeah.
It went down to the fantasy show because they needed it for a bit that you and I did.
But isn't it your job to bring it back?
What, you think I just got hands aplenty?
How did it get down there in the first place?
You want to know how it got down here?
Yeah.
Damien.
Random Damien, the Statapillar?
Up here, grabbed it, and then walked it all the way back downstairs.
So, Damien, who is the Statapillar on our show, on the fantasy show on ESPN Plus, the show researcher over there, Damien, that's your job to bring the bell back, because what just happened here is a violation. We said we were not going to ring this bell until Le'Veon Bell reported. He has not yet reported. And there's Stefania with
Pittsburgh,
her grubby hands all over it. Like, just
Arrowhead,
you know,
warrants a big bell.
I mean, look at this.
All right,
thing.
Larry Fitzgerald and
look
David.
How grubby it is. Like, you sullied it, Stefania. We had a whole plan not to ring the bell until Le'Veon reported.
David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald had good games last week. Specifically, Larry Fitzgerald did in week 8, I should say. They had the bye this past week. But we saw some encouraging signs from offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich when he was promoted to take over for Mike McCoy. I think the question is no one expects this game to be competitive. It's a 16.5-point line. But in a pretty favorable matchup, like, can Larry Fitzgerald and David Johnson junk time, if that's what it takes, their way to a top 10 finish for David Johnson and a top 20 finish for Larry Fitzgerald? We all sort of feel that way. Like, there'll be enough opportunities, even if it's 42-7 Kansas City by the third quarter, for them to do exactly that.
Yeah, I mean, because as great as Kansas City's offense has been, their defense has certainly struggled this year, by the way. They're top 10 in the NFL in terms of slot completion percentage allowed and slot yards allowed per game, which obviously is where Larry Fitzgerald plays. And I was encouraged mostly in terms of David Johnson's usage in the passing game under Leftwich. So in a game in which we expect the Cardinals to have to throw to try to keep up with Kansas City I'm with you, Field. I think this is a junk time special for both players.
Sammy Watkins kind of bears mentioning here, Stefania, watching even, because I don't know that he'll play on Sunday.
I don't know that he will either. Now, he was limping in the locker room after the game last week, but Andy Reid had seemed to dismiss it, saying he got banged up a little bit. He'll be fine. He goes for an MRI. It sounds like the Chiefs were not worried that this was something significant, but he hasn't practiced yet this week. And, you know, to me, this is a guy who has had a history of foot and ankle problems, and even if it's not a significant or serious injury for the long term, might it jeopardize his status for 1 week? I think so. So we'll see what he does today, but keep your eyes out. Open. Eyes open. And
16 and a half point line for the Chiefs over the Cardinals. I think the Chiefs win and cover. Daniel, how about you?
16 and a half is it's massive. Huge.
I know, but it's Arrowhead and it's Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, well, since you said that, I guess I will take the Chiefs. I wasn't convinced before.
Chiefs.
Yeah, Matthew.
So sad, but the Chiefs.
Clean sweep for the Chiefs. Final game here, the Bills at the Jets. Let's just call it like it is, guys. The most important pieces in this matchup are the defenses. That's really what it is. I don't know that I can say there's any player in this game offensively that I have a lot of confidence in. Certainly somebody is going to produce or could produce, but I'm most intrigued by these defenses in this game.
I will say this. A little tweet from Mike Rodak a couple hours ago saying that the Bills are still not sure who's going to be starting at quarterback for them this week because Josh Allen is progressing well. So even though we sort of assumed it's Nathan Peterman, it sounds like they're not going to decide until after today. Now, I would be surprised because they say his health is a priority, but
anyway, my expectation.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. You go.
I was just going to say, like, you'd feel better about the Jets defense if it were Peterman than Josh Allen.
If you had to choose between these two defenses, a more talented Bills defense against a Jets offense with Josh McCown, or a less talented Jets defense against a Bills offense with either Peterman or Matt Barkley or Josh Allen?
It actually really depends. If it's Peterman, give me the Jets.
Okay.
If it's Josh Allen, give me the Bills.
There you have it there. The two top streaming offenses of the week or defenses of the week are the Bills and the Jets. Jets are 7.5 point favorites. This game is being played at home. I think the Bills cover somehow.
Yeah, and if you're desperately considering starting Chris Ivory, still wearing a non-contact jersey at practice, so keep that in mind too.
Okay, Daniel, who do you got?
I cannot take the Bills if Nathan Peterman is starting at quarterback.
I
will take 7.5 and the Jets.
Stefania?
It's so ridiculous that it's that many points, but yeah, Jets.
Matthew? I'm actually going to take the Bills. Oh, the game's in New York.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's in New York.
They're traveling.
Jets.
No.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Jets.
Jets win this one 3-2 is the final.
Especially
score.
Because, by the way,
3-2.
By the way, the Jets.
That's
like,
funny.
I understand where it doesn't help the Jets franchise in terms of the longer term picture, but Josh McCown is going to be a better fit for this offense, at least in this, than Sam Darnold. Like, they'll be a better team on Sunday with Josh McCown under center, I believe, than they were with Sam Darnold at this point in both of their careers.
A poll update before we say goodbye. What do you got,
Daniel? Poll update at Fantasy Focus. We put out a poll. Which member of the 0600 has the biggest guns?
This is shocking to me.
With 8% of the vote. Matthew
shocking
Berry
would be
comes
if they
in
voted
last.
That's the shocking part. I can't believe I got 8% of the vote.
8% Matthew comes in last. 17% Field Yates comes in
also
third.
Shocking to me. Would have thought he would have won.
More of a definition guy.
31% a member behind the glass.
I mean,
wow. That's amazing considering they can't even see
I
you.
Think, you want to know what
that's
I think
what
it
is?
I think it's because this year for bowling, I stepped up to a 13-pound ball. And I think that they can tell because it's the right side of my arm.
Look,
you know what I mean?
Look, they are counting your
first
sleeves
off,
as part of your.
I mean, it's
your
ridiculous
guns,
because, by the way,
not,
I mean,
that's not right.
Anyone that's watched the fantasy show and understand this is me, right? Okay, so like I'm the first to say like whatever. I am Lord Muffin Top over here, but
I'm anyone only Prince Muffin.
Yeah, I mean exactly. Anyone that's seen the fantasy show on ESPN Plus knows you're naked pretty much every show at least once. Like you got. There's no guns there. You're not hiding any gun. You're hiding like a gun cupcake or something like that.
Hey,
Keith Lipscomb.
Also delicious, by the way.
Yeah, 100%. But still, I mean, you know, and then you think about Not Cool Keith, who's like a twig. You know, I mean, you're a string bean. You're a tall drink of water, my friend, which is, you know, and like, and then Thirsty Kyle, who's like 90 pounds sopping wet. You know,
soppy wet.
Soppy
so there you go.
Wet. So good.
It's good.
I see what you did.
To finish this out really quickly, Stefania Bell does win with 44% of the vote. Resounding victory. Look
that
at those guys.
That confines Stefania in her well-defined arms. Get it? Stefania B87 on Instagram and Stefania _ESPN on Twitter. He's Matthew Berry, TMR in all forms of social media, except for the Fantasy Life app. He's just at Matthew Berry. I'm
Happy
at Field
Friday.
Yates. Happy Friday. We'll talk to you on Sunday. Fantasy Football Now, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN2 until 11:30. Then we go over to E! News.
Peace out. I was just going to say something else, but.
You're in the 06010. Never going to hustle in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead. Give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me because I don't think you could.
Jailbait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel Daniel Dunn.
Make
it
happen.
Media.